Welcome to Career Tools. Today we cover part four of our series on Bad Boss Number One, the Angry and Demeaning Boss. Here we go.
So why don't we start with me giving a quick recap, okay?
That'd be great.
This cast is, of course, one in a series about angry and demeaning bosses within the larger series of bad bosses in general. There are many different types. This one is about the angry boss. We covered bad boss basics about not managing our bosses and not making career decisions quickly because those turn out badly. We talked in detail about the angry and demeaning boss, what kind of behaviors they engage in and so on, what to look for. And now we're getting ready to cover the second of three parts of our fundamental premise and recommendations. The first part was coping. We've already, in the last shows, we covered how to cope, things to do, who to talk to and who not to talk to, what not to do, not acting rashly, not sharing with allies, but of course, speaking to your spouse. We talked about ethics as well. And now we've got to talk about performance. And we've got two more major points in this cast: how to perform for an angry, demeaning boss. And then also, we've also got to cover later after that how to decide what you're going to do.
Good.
That's where we are.
Excellent. Okay, so that's a good overview. So we're going to talk about performance. And
right.
Unfortunately, many folks who deal well with coping, they then tend to fall down on this really key second point. If you work for an angry boss, in addition to coping, we must perform at a high level. We must.
Yeah, I would even argue that what we call coping, some people would think they're doing, Mike, but they're not. What they're doing is shrinking. They're just staying away. They're just barely surviving, and they're just literally staying out of trouble. We're trying to separate. The whole idea of coping and performing is that if you're just staying out of trouble, you're not coping, and you're not performing, right? So the reason we describe it separately is we want you to be clear about the emotional state you're in and the behaviors you engage in around the coping. And that will make it easier for part two, but you've also got to perform. And we see too many people who say that they're coping when in fact they're not. They're just shrinking away. They're hiding. And we respect that. We're saying, though, that won't last very long because angry, demeaning bosses expect us to perform and tolerate their lack of professionalism.
Right. And to make it even worse, angry bosses often use our less than perfect performance to really justify diminishing the value of our complaints.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah.
And then they characterize our concerns that we've expressed as being defensive and selfish attempts to blame them for our poor performance.
If you, for some reason, your boss is an angry and demeaning boss, and they find out that you don't like their style, what they use, they don't say, "You're a whiner." They say you're a poor performer and you're whining to defend your poor performance, because any boss can figure out a way to fire anybody who's a poor performer. Companies respect that. Look, despite everyone saying things to the contrary, probably only 1% of managers and HR professionals we've ever known have been good enough to see through an angry boss's misuse of facts to win an argument with a direct. If there's going to be an argument, you're going to lose if you're the direct with an angry boss. Look, all of us make mistakes, even while we're doing good things. And every one of us is totally, no matter how good you are at your job, every one of us is susceptible to our boss listing 20 to 50 things we've done poorly, wrong, ineffectively over the past 6 months. Even if you're a CEO and you've hit your numbers every single quarter, your board, if you do something untoward to one of the board members or something that turns out poorly or is private or something, they can figure out a reason to say the performance wasn't what we wanted and go in a different direction. And then you combine that, the fact that you're going to lose an argument about performance because we all have weaknesses and we've all made mistakes, and they just pump up the mistakes and diminish the successes and say that other people helped you a lot on them. Combine all that with some really short-term unethical behavior, and they basically use our mistakes, however small they are, to justify putting us in a performance plan, which is unethical by nature in this case. And suddenly, we're out of our job. Because we did our job, but we just got steamrolled by an angry and demeaning boss. So it happens, and we can't simply shrink and call it coping. We have to both cope professionally and then also perform.
Good. So one sub-bullet under here is you got to deliver results. And before we get into some specific guidance, we've got to start with a really simple rule.
Yeah, that people don't know about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is protect that part of you in plain sight. And what we mean here is that the documents that you dismiss so often can become powerful tools against us when we either disagree with an angry boss or when we actually do fail to perform. Our annual review and job description, combined with our annual performance goals, are critical.
You're totally right. Yeah.
Angry bosses tend to come in like two forms when it comes to objectives. Give me whatever I want, whenever I want it, no matter what you used to be working on 5 seconds ago, or deliver to my, meaning your, core objectives, no matter what else I give you.
Yeah.
And the problem with this situation is that is in both cases, or frankly in all cases, the power of the boss is amplified when they're angry. And then we tend to lose sight of the core of our work.
Right.
We have seen, and I know you've seen this as well, too many cases where managers were, literally stunned to see HR pull out their job description, their annual reviews, their objectives, and then walk through line item by line item and show them how they weren't performing.
Even though they've been doing everything the demanding boss, the demeaning boss, the angry boss was suggesting they should be doing on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely.
Had a micromanager. Yeah.
You know, what they say is, well, that stuff's not relevant. That no one really uses that stuff. We just fill that out as kind of pro forma type of thing.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And that job description is ancient. My job has changed. I've been given different objectives. Look, folks, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
If your boss is angry enough, he will use what he knows he can use. And those are the documents we describe. Your annual review, your job description, annual performance goals.
Yeah.
Those things have clout. They're almost always inaccurate, but they have clout.
Yeah, they have clout because HR, in many cases, controls them, maintains them. And that's HR's way of trying to keep a handle on all the jobs in the organization. I'm not saying HR is dead set against you. It's just that let's go back to what we can use as a starting point. And the fact is the starting point is a terrible thing, but it doesn't matter. It's still going to be used against us. So look, when you realize you're working for an angry or demeaning boss, you've got to deliver results. And that means knowing your annual review measures, knowing your job description, reviewing your performance goals. Don't get so distracted that you end up looking wherever he tells you to, only to find out that these, where you weren't looking, were the instruments of your demise. Don't do it.
Right. Now, so you got to deliver results. You also got to deliver what your boss wants, what she wants.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you've got to do both. You've got to do whatever's on those job descriptions and so on. And then you got to try to get done all the other stuff that your boss throws your way. And look, real blunt, you've got to do both when you work for an angry and demeaning boss.
That sounds kind of harsh to me.
Yeah, it does. And I'm sorry, this cast is not about making your job easy. It's trying to help you get through a difficult situation. We can't make the work or your angry boss's unreasonable demands go away. What we can do is tell you where to look for the danger. And look, it doesn't do any good to complain about it. You accept the work. Don't bitch. Don't complain. They're asserting their power when they give you more work than intellectually in some small place they know you can handle. You accept the work. You prioritize it based on your best estimates of the timing and the objectives, and you get to it and you stay busy. Every minute we spend worrying about what we're not doing is a minute spent not doing it. And you just, when you work for an angry, demeaning boss, you simply don't have time.
Right. You not only need to give her what she wants, you need to put a little speed into it.
Oh, yeah. Angry bosses love speed. Most angry bosses tend to be dominant types, what we would call a high D, vast majority of them. Not everybody, but the vast majority of them. They like speed of response. And they're usually willing, even if they're loud about it, and angry about it, to allow you to iterate on a project and get it right. The mistake that people make is they wait until the deadline to deliver. Look, your boss, if he's angry or she's angry and demeaning, is going to find errors. If you wait till the deadline, they're going to say you did crappy work and you made them late. And look, they change their minds. Angry bosses change their minds depending upon how they're feeling and what they're thinking at any given moment. They're emotionally immature. You have to be emotionally immature to treat people this way. And the sooner you know when they've changed your mind by getting early feedback, by responding quickly with part of the work and saying, hey, just want to let you know, here's where I am, and let them rip it up, they're going to rip it up anyway. Now, some people would say, let's wait and let them rip it up at the last minute because that way they'll be respectful of the fact they only have 4 hours to meet the deadline. In our experience, they're not going to be respectful of that 4 hours. They're going to make you do it all over again, and then they're going to complain that you did it wrong, and then the fact that it was right the second time doesn't matter because it's late.
Right.
You don't get credit for being right the second time. You just get credit for being late.
Yeah, they've already proven that respect's not higher in their list of priorities.
Yeah. And in a way, we're telling you, you need to be fast when you work for an angry and demeaning boss. But part of this is related to coping. That's why we make the point, you got to cope, and then you got to perform. And the performing, addressing this, helps reduce a little bit of the anger and the negativity coming from the boss. And so these two work together, the coping and the performance.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you also have to deliver quality. And, you know, angry bosses, they like to be perfect too.
Yeah, sure.
And unfortunately, it sounds harsh, but frankly, we're just sharing with you what we've seen over and over again.
We don't make this stuff up, right? I mean, and you know what? Here's the thing. They don't expect their stuff to be perfect. They want your stuff to be perfect because they don't respect you. And they want to give you a standard that you can't meet so they can always feel that you're not meeting their standards. And that adds to their power.
But boss, you can't, you know, that whole triangle thing. You can't expect quality, speed, and cost. That would be unreasonable.
Yeah, you're talking about the old project triangle, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's the triangle, and on each of the apexes, there's one is high quality, one is fast, and one is cheaper and expensive. And the old joke is, choose any two, right? I mean, the idea is, if you want a high quality product and you want it fast, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be very expensive. If you want something really cheap, you know, you don't want to spend a lot of money and you want it really fast, it's probably going to be low quality. And last, if you want something really high quality and you want it to be inexpensive, it's going to take a long time, right? And so that's the joke, choose any two. But look, here's the thing. When it comes to being a director of an angry boss, the model breaks. Because look, in a project, yeah, if you want it fast and high quality, it's expensive because those two choices cost more. Fast and high quality. But if you're direct to an angry boss, your cost is zero. Or you'd say it differently. A project costs more when there's more labor, but you're not a project, right? So just work harder, longer, and more. And, you know, it's a case of mind over matter. I don't mind and you don't matter. The fact that you're having to work harder, believe me, when I was in your role, I worked darn hard because I work for a demanding boss just like me. And if you have an angry and demeaning boss, he or she is going to say, look, I'm not asking you to break the triangle. I expect it to be fast and cheap and high quality because in my mind, cost is always zero because your salaries are already paid for. Yeah. So you have to be high quality, and we don't mean to mislead you. We're not suggesting that this is some magic that breaks the old project triangle. It's that the boss doesn't care and they expect you to work longer hours to meet their standards. And if you think you can work for an angry and demeaning boss and one of the coping skills is going home every day at 5 o'clock, no matter what, you're probably mistaken. We generally encourage people to go home on time, but we're not suggesting that it's going to be as easy. It won't be as easy working for somebody who's angry and demeaning.
Exactly. Okay, so we talked about delivering results, and we've got to give her what she wants. We got to do it fast, and unfortunately, we have to have quality in there as well. Let's talk a little bit about communications. Is there something we ought to be doing differently when we're communicating with this angry, demeaning boss?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, there is no difference, right? I mean, if you're communicating, it's true for all managers, good or bad, angry or not angry. If you struggle getting along with someone, then you need to work on your communication. And if you're wondering how to do that, we'd recommend our DISC communication and behavioral profile tools that are available on the website. But look, when it comes to angry bosses, we generally find them to be dominant types. They tend to focus on tasks and they tend to focus on speed. They want short and to the point information. They don't want to know about feelings or relationships, unless insofar as those relationships or feelings relate to power. They don't think of power as a relationship. They just think of it as power. They don't mind complex problems. And frankly, many of them, they don't mind mistakes unless they have a lot of high C component, the perfectionist component. You can make a mistake as long as there's a solution that comes with the problem or the mistake. We've got some specific recommendations. And the first one is short. When you communicate with an angry boss, we strongly recommend you be short, brief in your communication. They don't want all the background you need to share to make clear that you weren't at fault.
Yeah, short, not curt.
Yeah, they want to know what they want to know, and they don't care what you want them to know. If what you want them to know is different from what they want, they don't care about it. I'll tell you, the experience, when I had the experience, I had a very angry and demeaning boss once, and he saw an interchange with my son and I, and I asked a question to my son, and the comment was, I said, what did you do? And my son launched into a story. He says, well, this guy did this and this guy did this. And my angry and demeaning boss basically said, yeah, see, that's exactly what I don't like about when you communicate with me. I ask you a specific question and you want to tell me a story. And it was one of those aha moments for me. We don't tell angry bosses stories. We give them bulleted facts. We state our assumptions briefly. We provide executive summaries. We give them bluff, bottom line up front. If you're required for some reason to provide a 20-slide deck for a presentation, they're okay with having 20 slides. They don't need you to boil all 20 down to one. They're not going to tell you, ah, to heck with the board, just put together one and that's all I need. They know that you're going to have 20. But make sure you either put the budget number on the first slide, the bottom line, the budget number on that first slide, or give them their copy with the most important slide first so they don't have to rifle through it to get to page 20 to find out what the answer is.
I suspect that many of our listeners, at least, don't do a lot of presentations, but I know almost everybody does a lot of email. Anything specifically we can do around email for type of bosses? Yeah.
We've actually, I think, talked about this. I know we talked about it at the Effective Communications Conference, but short emails, no more than three paragraphs to an angry or demeaning boss. No more than three sentences per each paragraph. No attachments unless they've asked for attachments. No scroll bars on the right in the email. No long voicemails either at night or at any other time where I need to tell you a story before, you know, geez, give an executive summary. I know you've told a story about a guy who worked for you who you didn't listen to his voicemails and it was affecting communication because he would tell you long rambling stories.
Right, they were like 10 minutes long.
Yeah. And like, I'm sorry, I don't listen to 10 minute long voicemails. I don't. In fact, I'll never forget Rich Rue, our good friend, sent me a Christmas card this past year. And it, right at the top, he wrote on it, don't read.
He knows you well.
It was classic. I did read it, Rich.
Okay, so make sure your communications are short, but also make them direct. This is true whether your boss is angry or mean or not.
Yeah.
When they ask you a question, particularly for these types of managers, just answer the question. Don't tell them a story. Don't tell them what you want them to know or what you think they need to know. Just answer their question.
Yeah, a good example. Did we meet the deadline on Project X? Or did you get the briefing deck from the internal vendor or whatever? The answer to that, the first word in that email, if not the only word in that email, must be either a yes or no.
Right. Right? If it starts off with well...
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about I
or I or even I, even if you start off with I or some other person's name. If you get asked a direct question that you believe grammatically can be answered with a yes or no, that has to be the first word in your email. And in fact, for many people, if it's that, for many angry and demeaning bosses, that needs to be, in many cases, the only word in the email.
Right.
Yeah. So look, don't tell them what you think they need to know. Answer the question. They're either going to come around to what they need to know or they won't, but you've got to tell them what they think they need. Okay, add key points that you think they need after you've answered their question. And angry bosses do like numbers and facts. They think of that as being very direct.
Yeah. Then thirdly, be dispassionate. We get back to kind of be chilly, right? Don't show any emotion. And actually, disagreeing is most times okay. As long as it's not emotionally driven.
Exactly.
Be prepared to be steamrolled, right?
Yeah.
But if you do, just go along, again, dispassionately, without a lot of emotion around it.
Yep, exactly. When you're being dispassionate, if you get your idea, if you get tied to your ideas and then they choose something else, don't think that one of the ways you can get back to them is be lazy or pouty about implementing their plan. You've got to implement their plan in terms of performance. If you want to deliver results, you better implement their plan effectively.
Well, yeah, and if you implement it lazily or you pout like you described, they interpret that as disrespectful. Matter of fact, they interpret it as disrespectful. It is disrespectful.
Yeah, and people who are about power, and angry and demeaning bosses tend to be about power, consider respect critical to the relationship, right? So look, here's what you do. You offer your idea. You assume it's going to die. You do it their way, except when you can do it your own. And just don't get tied to all your ideas. If you are tied to a lot of your ideas, that's okay. Don't act as if you are, and recognize that probably will increase the chances your decision is going to be an easy one, which is, I need to get the hell out of here sooner than some other folks who are willing to cope a little bit better than you. Just make sure you have enough time to make a good search at night and on the side.
Yeah. Another point associated with this staying chilly and not checking your brain out at the door because you're upset because you're emotionally invested in this whole thing.
Right.
Is a lot of folks, what they do is they'll go to meetings. They're in this, they have this emotional attitude. They're sullen, and then they stop contributing ideas. And that does not work in your favor.
If you act as if the boss is going to come up with the idea anyway, and so you just sit there and wait for him to tell you, that's not a way to cope or to perform with an angry or demeaning boss.
Yeah. So you've got to bring solutions to the table. They like recommendations.
Probably. Not just the problem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're not saying they're going to be the best boss in the world, but they'll much more likely allow you to use your idea if you present it first, as opposed to simply bringing them a problem. In fact, an angry or demeaning boss wants the problem to go away, and you say, look, here's the problem. Here's what we're going to do about it. And if he wants to change it, if he wants to spend hours rearranging things, fine, let him, and let go of your emotion about that, because it's just what he's doing. And if all you do is bring him a problem, they think that what you're saying is, I think you're brilliant. I want you to solve my problem for you. And what they do is they solve the problem using you as labor. What's worse about that is that they'll tell you what they would do, and then they'll expect you to do it their way. And doing something some other person's way is almost always less efficient than you doing it your way, provided you have a plan that you believe will work.
And so here's the key attitude to bring to it. Bring lots of solutions and be prepared to let it go. Bring it up, you get resistance, you let it go. But yep. Don't stop bringing the solutions.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. If you have friends or associates of yours that might benefit from Career Tools but aren't listening now, please share Career Tools with them. Tell them where to find us, www.managertools.com, or simply go to iTunes and search on Career Tools. Thanks. We greatly appreciate the support. All right, folks. We'll see you all again next week. So long.